say this a lot with our youth and in our youth ministry, and I say this phrase often. It says, Jesus is speaking to you, probably more often than you are listening. Like I say, Jesus and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you probably more often than you realize or are listening. And that happens so evidently this week, and it happens with my daughter. And I remember exactly it was on a Wednesday afternoon. Our girls had just woken up from nap time, and they were playing downstairs with some new books and toys that they had just earned and we had bought that morning. And everything was going well. And then all of a sudden, the dynamic changed when I heard a blood-curdling scream from my four-year-old. And you know, if you're a parent, like that scream that's not just going to like stay down there, but it's going to require the pitter-patter of little feet to come up and be like, "Daddy," and so she got here and she was crying and through like the crying and the trying to tell me what happened, and she told me that her sister had taken the new Trolls microphone that lights up and she hit her over the head with it, and I was like, "Oh, baby girl, I'm so sorry. Now can you go get your sister?" Who is conveniently still downstairs acting like nothing really happened. Like any parent's like, "Oh my gosh, yes," right? And then all of a sudden my six-year-old comes up and she's walking like this. And she's like, I'm like, "Hey babe, what just happened?" She's like, "I was like, did you hit your sister? And why did you hit your sister?" And she was like, and she began to recount the story and tell me why they were fighting over something, right? And she was just like, "I wanted it, and so I hit her." And I said to her, because we're really working on this thing of not just like, this is what you should do and you shouldn't hit, we don't hit, but I said, like, why? Like, are we people who hurt the ones that we love? And this is the moment where the Holy Spirit and my six-year-old daughter's like voice met and then began to speak as she goes, "Daddy, I don't know why, like in my head, I say don't hit her, but then I hit her." And she's like, "I'm so sorry, Daddy. I don't know why I do that." And in that moment, like the Holy Spirit transfers from his voice in my daughter into the voice into my head and saying, "Austin, your six-year-old right now does not need a consequence. Like, there are consequences for the accident, but right now she doesn't need a consequence. Actually, what she needs is Jesus." She goes, "She needs what I have been working on in you the last week and what you are about to preach. She needs the gospel that says, oh, I know who I am, and I don't always do that. What is the answer?" And I think that's what happens not only with parents, but also in us, because we are children of God, that we have come to this relationship with God as our Father, but we are the same way. We know who we are, but all of a sudden we be hitting people, right? And we go, "Oh, my head says I shouldn't do that, but then I do that." And I think Jesus, and I think the Holy Spirit, and I think God is so much more grace-giving and hope-filled that things aren't going to be just the way that they are, that we can grow and learn. But he says, this is important. Like, just as I was looking at my little girl and wanting to get her at the heart of what was going on, and not just to obey and just do, but to say, I want you to live out of who you are. Jesus, in this text here in Luke 6, as we talk about the heart of discipleship, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Luke's version, is saying this. He's saying faith is obedience. Faith is obedience, but obedience is also faith. Faith is obedience, and obedience is faith. And don't just take my word for it. Like, we're going to get into the text. We're going to read this over as we focus back on God's words, not my words, but God's word, and as we jump in. So here, take a look at this text. If you've got the Bible in front of you or on your Bible app, that's great. Pull it up. Look at it. Maybe you're going to read a different translation. It says this. "So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? I will show you what it is like when someone comes to me, listens to my teaching, and then follows it. It is like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. And when the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. But anyone who hears and doesn't obey is like the person who builds a house right on the ground without any foundation. And when the flood sweeps down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruin. And the thing is about the foundation that Jesus is talking about at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, his first big teaching as around and coming into his ministry with people around him, is this fact that faith is obedience. Obedience is faith. And the thing that we clear up, and maybe you've been struggling with this, maybe you haven't, but maybe this needs to be made clear. When we talk about faith, faith is never, never just a prayer. It never is just a prayer that you say, and then that changes everything. The parable that Jesus is using is about life. Is it about a foundation, about a house that is built, a person that is living at the house that represents his life or her life? And so that faith is never just a prayer. See, faith is transformational. It can't be just a prayer, because a prayer is a moment that is reflective of a full journey. See, faith is transformational. Faith takes us from skepticism to confidence. Takes us from uncertainty to assurance. See, faith is this. Faith is that, oh man, I mess up all the time, like my 6-year-old daughter who's hitting her sister. Like, I mess up all the time, I don't feel like I'm gonna be able to get to heaven. I don't feel like I can earn it and be good enough. But what I'm sure of, instead of like my doubt and my uncertainty, what I'm sure of is that Jesus, the blood that he paid on the cross, pays for all my sins, bring me back into right relationship with him. Faith is that sin that I have no longer am bound by, that sin that is coming into being a person of faith, foundation of Jesus, that I'm no longer bound to live according to the sin or the pull on my life. I am free. Faith is that the who I used to be is no longer who I am right now and who I'm going to be. That faith is that I'm so uncertain of, I don't like who I am, but that who God is making me new, that God is making all things new, including me. Faith is certain that who I was is not who I am and who I'm going to be. See, faith is that this life, what happened yesterday, this week, doesn't have the final say in your life. That we have the hope of the return of Jesus Christ, who is not just we're trying to make ourselves good-looking, perfect people that are going to go to be with Jesus, but that faith is that we're inviting Jesus to be with us now. Faith is, and faith does change, transform, and that's why Jesus calls it a foundational transformation. I love when I was growing up, I had a living room carpet that looked like this. It was blue. And one of the things that I love to do is play Legos on it. Because one of the great things about a blue rug is that you could have these epic boat battles. And what you could do with the Lego people is you could take their bottom torso off and put them on the ground and they're swimming. They're like, and like, yeah, sweet, right? And so all of a sudden you have like this like graveyard of torsos, but then all these like people swimming in and doing battle. But then what would happen is all of a sudden the dog would run in, my siblings would run in, my parents, and I'd be like, Mom, get the dog. He's ruining my Lego. Like, right, and all of a sudden you look down and you're like, oh, they lost the war. That's too bad, right? Their boat's turned over, the people are turned over, some are on their face, some are on their back, right? And it's like, and you're so frustrated because now I gotta redo this battle and I gotta start over. But then Lego made this incredible thing that changed everything. It was a foundation. It became this thing that you could now change the way you build. Like, you get a couple of things, and if you wanted to do a water like it, you just spray paint this blue, right? You lay it on the ground. You start putting your people in there, and you put your ships and stuff like that, and then all of a sudden the dogs come in, the siblings come in, they go like this, and everything stands firm. Faith is the shifting from just nothing in the ground to putting down a foundation, and it changes the way you play and live and act and do. Then once you start putting Legos and stuff on here, guess what? All of a sudden there's a foundation that when you are playing, you're confident that what you put there is going to stay there. Faith is foundational. It is trading out the obscurity and the nothingness that is the ground and putting down a foundation and being certain. And that changed my life. I remember getting a bunch of these. My mom actually got a huge one. I was like, yeah, Mom, everything is different, right? Good news. But I also got good news this week. I don't know if you heard it, but I will share it with you, and maybe you can share in my joy. Good news that changed my week. Yes, even with the power outage, here and there and everywhere, good news came. Chip and Joanna Gaines are bringing back Fixer Upper. Yes. Yes. Are you kidding me? Chip and Joe. Right? Like, oh my gosh, they're back. They're bringing it back. You saw a teaser video of Chip being his normal self and making Joanna like close her eyes and showed up, and he reveals the house, and she's like, huh. He's like, I'm bringing us back. And I was like, yes. So you in 2021 can come over to my house and either celebrate in the joy with me, or you can watch me as I geek out. But the thing I love, like, I'm a sucker for transformational reality shows because I believe that the gospel is being preached to people and they don't even know it. Like, they're taking the things that are worthless and that people don't want, and guess what? They're changing them. They're making them new, and so like any type of like extreme makeover, weight loss edition, like I'm a sucker for these things. Like, right? Like, these are my reality shows. Because I think that the transformation that happens and you see is both a beautiful thing. And I think, could you imagine, though, in these transformations, like the new season of Fixer Upper, what's going to happen is Chip and Joe are going to finish the house. They're going to have the big divide of what the old house looked like and the new house is behind. And they pull it back and the people are like, oh, that's nice. I wouldn't have painted it that color. And then they walk in, they're like, ooh. I don't like that. Nope, that's not me. Like, the best thing about these shows and the transformational is that they know who that they're building for. They know their clients. They walk in, they're like, oh my gosh, do you see that vanity? Oh my gosh, do you see that living room? Right? The master bath. I have an ensuite finally, every parent's dream. Yes, I don't have to share anymore, right? Or then you're like me, like, oh my gosh, that farmhouse sink, it's so beautiful. If anybody wants to come over to my house and install a farmhouse sink, we will do dishes all the time. No more dishwasher, just dishes. But like the thing is, like, it becomes this place where it's like, oh, this is me. And that's what I think Jesus does. Like, I love doing this with people. It's like, I love walking into their house and looking around, because I believe, like, when I walk around, I can start to see who you are, see what is important to you, see like how things are formed, like what your flow looks like, what like decorations you have. And I believe that our houses reflect who we are. That you walk into somebody's house and just like the fixer-uppers, you walk in, you see, man, these are who they are. They're like, oh my gosh, you nailed me perfectly. That's exactly what I like. That's exactly what I love. I would totally put that there. That you could walk into my house and walk through, open some closets. Please don't dig too deeply, or don't go into like the junk drawer in the kitchen. That's a hot mess. But like, you could come in and you see who I am, see what's important. And as followers of Jesus, if faith is obedience and obedience is faith, then I think our house is desperately need to reflect the fact of our foundation of who we are, that people should walk in and feel the evidence of Jesus in our houses and in our rooms, in our places, that it should just absolutely flood over the place, that who we are as followers of Jesus, as disciples who not only have faith but obedience, and that the houses in our lives look and feel like Jesus. They look and feel like Jesus. So here's the thing, like, what happens when you come to this place and you're like, oh man, we've been confronted with the gospel. We've seen Jesus, who's talking about a person and a life that is supposed to be reflective. And if he's using the parable that we are houses built on something, what do your house look like? Like, my hope is that you would go home to your houses and you would look, like, you'd walk in like Chip and Joanna Gaines just kind of finished your house, and you walk in and you'd be like, oh man, yeah, this feels like Jesus. Or you'd be like, right? So what do we do with this? Well, I think there's this place, and I got this idea of like Jesus put this Lego foundation in my life, and so my heart went back to a kid, right? I am a student pastor, and I thought that I would do extreme makeover. Oh no. Things are falling apart. My house! All right, we'll just have to use it. Like, we'll have to use this little broken house. Aw, so sad. But that this house is a representation of what I felt like Jesus' house would be called for us as disciples. And one of the things that I'd love for you to, like, notice, like, right off the bat. See, this is what happens. You got a firm foundation. Or you're breaking things. I knew this was going to happen. It's all right. Jesus is still good. He's still on the throne, right? But we'll pick this one up. But I think one of the things that I love most about this house is that it's, you know how we talked about earlier that faith isn't just a prayer? Faith is also, a life of faith isn't just big enough for one Lego man. If your life and your faith has an occupancy of one, you're not on the right foundation. Like, this house is bigger than one Lego person could live in. So maybe you need to go and say, man, my house is pretty small, and I need to do some work on it. But one of the other things that I love about this, as I totally broken, you know, Jesus is doing some construction on my house of discipleship. He's always working. He's making things new. Is that it's colorful. One of the things that I think is, man, Jesus in the Gospels always was like, just people were crowded around. He couldn't go anywhere where they were not. Like, he was attractive. Who he was drew people to him. He wasn't dull. He wasn't boring. He wasn't like, oh my gosh, do we have to go to Jesus? Like, mom's dragging me there. No, like, Jesus was so attractive that people want to be, like, our houses need to be, our lives need to be attractive. They need to draw people to us. That if we are to be disciples of Jesus, we need to look like Jesus. We need to be attractive, to be people that draw people in, not because we're good looking enough. I'm not good looking enough. But that our lives are attractive in nature, because Jesus wasn't boring. He drew people in. They were like, man, this guy is different. I need to have a later bedtime to get to him. Right? I need to get up early if I'm not a morning person and go get to him. Right? Like, I need to rise early because the crowds will be so big. If I don't get an early start, I'm not going to be there in the front row. Right? Man, it's like even like the PGA Championship with no spectators, but people want to see Tiger Woods, so they're at the fence trying to get a front row look at Tiger. Like, our lives need to be a place where people are trying to get a front row look at Jesus, and they got to wake up early to get there. But you know what also something I see about Jesus, and something that maybe that we need to focus on, is not only do we need to be attractive, but people can come up to our houses and to our lives and be attracted to us, but they have no way of getting in. Like as I built this, I put a lot of windows and a lot of doors in there because, like, we need places where people can access us. Like, they don't need to just come and be like, oh, that's really pretty. I mean, I wish I had that. But they have no access into your life. Like, how are people getting into your lives and into your houses in order to interact with this Jesus who is transforming your life? So, man, have a ton of, like, doors and windows, because I look at the Gospels and I read stories of people that are willing to tear apart the roof of someone's house in order to get to Jesus. That's why there's no roof on here. Not because I was lazy. I'm Jesus, right? But, like, the people, you need to, like, leave your doors open, your windows open. There's no, like, to get into Jesus. What good is Jesus if you keep everybody out of your life to get to know Jesus? But here's the biggest thing. One of the things that I think is incredibly important is that if we are to be disciples of Jesus, that not only are attractive and give people access, we need to look and be like Jesus. The rooms that are in here need to be rooms of love, rooms of joy, of hope, of acceptance, of community, of forgiveness. That when people come into your houses, when they're so attracted because Jesus resides in you and in your house, and they walk through your door, crawl through your window, tear apart your roof to get in, they better not find a place that doesn't look like Jesus inside. It needs to be a place in rooms, because honestly, what people need, People don't need your house to look like a library where they know a lot about Jesus. They need to come into your life and be in a room where they can sit and commune and experience the Holy Spirit and Jesus through you. Because people sometimes just need a place where they can come and a house and a life they can trust. A house and a life that they can just rest in. A house and a place and a person that they can come in and know that they, who they are, doesn't kick them out. That doesn't say, you cannot be here, you're not good enough. Or to come to a place where they can say, man, I have made so many mistakes, will you forgive me, and experience the forgiveness that releases years of burdens and heartache and mental and emotional stress. And just watch that, experience that, and watch it wash away off of people. People who come into our lives need to experience Jesus in a way that is real, not just know Jesus or know about Jesus, but experience him. But that they come in, that they feel welcomed. They find community not by what they bring or how skillful they are, but because they are a loved, created son and daughter of Jesus. Could you imagine if you created a house in a life where people came in and felt like they could be who they are and are loved just the way they are? Not having to bring anything, not having even expectations, not to have to fit in the mold or get themselves right before they come in. Could you imagine if your house was a full of hope that they could know that they could bring in their messiness, sit down and rest, and believe that in the person of Jesus, things will be different because they've met him in your life? Here's the thing. But maybe you're like, Austin, I don't have a house. Mine might look like yours. It's kind of like falling apart. It's in work. But guess what? Like, it's in process. Maybe you don't have a foundation. Maybe you're trying to build this beautiful house on nothing, and you need to swap it out for something like this. Because maybe in your life, you think you're building off of this, but you're actually building off of this. Because when it says in the parable, when life comes in hard, everything falls down. Because the way that you're living isn't reflective of the firm foundation that Jesus is offering. Or maybe you need to go to your house in instant occupation, and maybe you need to hire Chip and Joanna to do some renovation on your house. Maybe you need to expand some rooms. Maybe you're saying, I'm not really loving. And so you need to ask God to come and expand your house, to create a place in your life that resides a room of love where people can come in and feel loved and accepted for who they are, just the way that you were. Man, maybe you need to create a place of peace in your house. That in a chaotic world, they see followers of Jesus who are living in life right now, but when you walk up into them, and you sit down and have a cup of coffee with them, sit by the fire, or sit out on the picnic table like at my house, sharing a cold beverage, that as they sit with you and they sit with Jesus, that the anxiety and the stress begins to melt away. And you see their shoulders go from being tense to start relaxing. Because they're coming into your house and they're meeting a Jesus that takes off their burdens and puts on his and says, my burdens are light. Switch them with me. Maybe you need to go into a place and build in a room that is in a world that says, man, everything's going bad. Is anything going to be good? And then you need to invite people to say, I agree, things are hard, but guess what? I have hope in Jesus. I have hope so when they come into your house, they're like, man, everything around me makes me want to just be like, oh, I just need to curl up and bunker down and just abide my time until this is all over. Maybe to bring access into lives where people come in and find hope. This is what God has called you to do. Man, you need to switch out that foundation and you need to do some renovation. And my hope and prayer, and the biggest thing that I would say to us sitting in here online, is if you just sit here and you've experienced the word of God and you've heard the Holy Spirit speaking into your life and you do nothing, well, Jesus talked about it. Why do you call me Lord Why do you say that I'm the Lord of your life and then don't do what I say? You're wasting your time if you're coming here and doing nothing. We got to get out of this place of being a Christian and being a disciple is about praying and prayer. But it's actually about living a life that is reflective of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that Christians actually look attractive, Christians actually look hopeful, and people experience love and joy and forgiveness and acceptance into their lives. If we are followers of Jesus, we need to look like Jesus. This is what he's saying. Don't just be hearers of the world, be doers. Don't be a cranky grump. Man, there's joy in the newness of Jesus Christ. There's hope that these mercies are new this morning, and that his hope is that he is coming back to set all things right. There is goodness. How can you walk out and be like, that was good, and then go around and do the same old thing? Man, his goodness and his love and his joy and his peace is too different and too amazing to live that way. Do some renovations in your heart. And then do that in your life. Man, do some work in your life. Do some work in your life. Swap it out and let's start building homes, lives that look like Jesus. Would you pray with me? God, I hear you saying that I need this word just as much as anybody else. I'm not a finished product yet, just because I've studied it. And just because I've studied it doesn't mean I'm going to do it. And so, God, I pray that prayer that comes out of James, that when James was writing, he said, he begs the people, don't just be hearers of the word, be doers. And so, God, I pray that in my heart, that I wouldn't be just someone that comes and gains knowledge and wisdom and absolutely does nothing with it. God, give us the strength and the power to be people that hear and people that do. God, may we be people that live in reflection of your love. And God, if we don't, if we're not living in a place that is hope and love, and because maybe we haven't experienced it, maybe right now in our hearts we need to do a self-assessment. We need to walk through our own homes. We need to rearrange, redecorate, repurpose. Our lives don't look like you. Or maybe our lives do look like you, and our houses are beautiful, but we don't have any doors or windows on it. I wonder what the world would think of us if we were as inviting and welcoming and attractive as you. So God, my prayer maybe for us is that this week you would flood us with people that would be knocking on the doors of our lives and that we would open up and let them in. Oh, Jesus. I pray the day that I have more time for people and for you than I need for myself. That I fully live into the gospel. My life wasn't created for my own, but as a living, laid down, obedient sacrifice, as a follower of you, not a disciple of myself. Holy Spirit, come be in this place as we worship, as we continue to fall and be changed and transformed by the good news of the gospel, that there is hope, there is life, there is love, there is forgiveness, there is community, there is identity in the one who is, who was, and is to come. Amen.